then the kingdom of God has come upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I hope that everything with you is getting to be okay after the ice storm. I know many of you had a very difficult time of it, and I'm very sorry that you did, and we think of you, and we pray for you. And, you know, as we go back and think about this ice storm, it would have been an enormous event in itself, just given its own enormity in Houston. But in our particular context, it was sort of just another thing. It was, you know, one thing after the other here that we get. And, you know, I don't have to list them. We've listed them ad nauseum. But you know, there's one thing about hardship. There's one thing about hardship to think about it. It's quite another thing to experience it, to have it wear down your reserves, to have it send you into dark thoughts. And as you go through these things, one after the other, it's a very easy thing to begin thinking that one lives in a void filled with chaos, with random chaos. And, you know, and it's easy to react to life based on this maybe unconscious idea that I live in a void of random chaos. And I'm just going to share you how I deal with this personally. You know, you collapse into yourself in withdrawal, right? This is how I do it. I shut myself off from the world. I also distract myself with binge watching, with surfing the net. You know, you sort of do that. I go to places where other people agree with me, and I seek out something called confirmation bias as a balm. But you know, when I do this, I'm often surprised when I come out on the other end to find the same problems are waiting for me. And when I'm facing them more depressed, angrier, more anxious, or even radicalized, as the kids say these days. Face them even more undone than I was before. And it's easy to go even farther. This void of chaos that I find myself in is filled with malevolence. And there's no one here to help. I don't know if any of you are fans of The Twilight Zone from the early 60s. Rod Serling, you know. Well, there's a particular Twilight Zone episode called The Howling Man. Do y'all remember The Howling Man? There is a wanderer who goes into this monastery in Eastern Europe, and he runs across these monks doing these very strange and mysterious things, and he is talking with the abbot, I guess it was, and he hears this howling. And it turns out that the monks actually have Satan locked up in the monastery, and their job is to keep Satan from going out and causing havoc. And so he walks by the cell, and Satan convinces him that he's not actually Satan, that these monks are crazy, and the guy actually lets Satan out. And then Satan says, "Ha ha, I fooled you, I'm actually Satan." And so the guy's life then is dedicated to recapturing Satan, if you could imagine such a thing. It's a very interesting episode. I recommend it to you totally. And that episode is very good in showing the existence of the demonic to the mid 20th century modern audience that Rod Serling was sort of showing it to. But there's a desperation in it. And the desperation is that I'm faced off alone with supernatural evil with no one here to help. That's another thing that you sort of get from that. Well, I taught with a teacher in seminary. And, you know, I was raised, and I've told you this before, I was raised very agnostic. We did not go to church. Very rational, you know, didn't believe anything that I couldn't see and that I couldn't wrap my head around. Very common. Nothing unusual there. That's where we were. That's where we were. And I was actually in seminary, and I asked this professor, I said, is there actually a personal devil? And this is a man, he has a Harvard degree, he has a Tübingen PhD in the world of whatever you want to call it. He has ultimate cachet. And he looks at me, he sharply turns around to me and looks at me. And he says, yes, David, he exists, and you will meet him someday. And that sort of knocked me back on my heels. But, you know, he was right. He was right on both counts. He does, and I have met him. And maybe you have too. The malice is palpable, overwhelming. And I see a lot of the devil's work in our society today, both on the left and the right. The animosity, the hatred, the sickness that haunts our society. You can see it. So Jesus here in Luke 11 is in a village, a rural area. And when rural areas are mentioned in Scripture, you know that the Pharisees and the scribes are sort of the dominant religious authorities around that area. And there's a mute man. And it says that Jesus cast a demon out. He exorcised the demon that made the man mute, and the man became able to speak. And we have here the dark presence of the demonic that is expressly stated. And when this exorcism happens, the people marvel. They marvel at what has happened, but not all of it is positive, as we see in this scripture. They accept the miracle, but they're wondering where it's coming from. By what power does this man exorcise the demonic? And they attribute it. There's a controversy. Many attribute it to Beelzebul, who is Satan. And Jesus logically, I won't go through it, but Jesus logically deconstructs their argument that it comes from Satan. But most persist, as we all know. Most persist, and this is not, you see it all throughout the rest of Scripture. And Jesus tries to convince them that the kingdom of God has come amongst them largely to no avail. They can't see. They don't understand. They can't hear. They can't see. And that's what all these healings, what do all these healings show you? What do all these healings tell you? The blindness, the muteness, even complete death. In John 11 with Lazarus, the human condition, he's talking about the human condition and the things that come and arise from the human condition. And the devil is truly there, seeking to unwind God's creation. What is he trying to do? He's seeking to unwind God's creation. He's seeking to unwind home, directly harming people. And also to create war between us and God. You know, this was the original temptation. Who said you should eat of that tree? He's just jealous of you. He thinks you're going to be like him. You see, he's trying to put a barrier between God and between us, undermining our trust in him, undermining our love of him. And he does a good job. You can see it all around you. Verse 23 of Luke 11, Jesus says this, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. It's a very black and white contrast. Now, as Jesus goes through the story, he talks about a strong man and a stronger man. Very clearly, Satan is the strong man. And just saying that, it often sounds too little. Because when we're in that void, when we see the chaos and the malice, we see the strong man right at home. And the strong man is too much for us. The strong man is too much for you. The strong man is too much for me. He's too much. But there's something that we need to understand as Christians. We know all of the kindness of Christ, His compassion, His love, His mercy. And all of those things are absolutely true. But the Christ we serve is also Savior and Lord. The Christ we serve is also the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Logos, through whom all was created. He is the seed of the woman who crushes the head of the serpent. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the stronger man in what Jesus is telling us here. Verses 21 through 22. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whosoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. The description you see in the stronger man taking the stronghold of the strong man is total victory. That description you see, the taking of the armor, the dividing of the spoil, is complete victory. So much so that the devil could have been eviscerated very early on. And the question becomes, why not? Why all this? Why this void? Why this chaos? Why this malice? Why all this experience that we have? Well, it would have left us in our fallen state. So the stronger man gives himself. The stronger man sheds his own blood. Why? To redeem us. To buy us back to himself. To buy us back from slavery to sin. To make us his own. To recreate us. All of these healings, this feeding, these miracles, is Christ bringing the kingdom of God. He came to shed his blood to bring peace with God. Peace with God. That's what that means. We're not talking about yoga peace. We're talking about a cessation of hostility. When Christ announces the forgiveness of sins, when Christ announces the coming of the kingdom, when Paul announces it in the gospel, he is saying, whether you believe it or not, God has reconciled himself to you in Christ Jesus. He has brought peace with God. The miracles show his presence in the world. The miracles also show us our future. Hard times, the void of the chaos and malice are at times incessant, uncontrollable, overwhelming, packed with chaos, and yes, we see the malevolence of the strong man. And it's too much for us. Rod Serling was right about that, and so is your gut. But there is a stronger man who has brought peace, who has brought forgiveness, who has brought grace, and he has crushed the head of the serpent. He has won a total and complete victory. And at the end of the day, there is actually very little that the strong man can do to you. Not with you belonging to the stronger man, Christ our Lord. And in the darkest, the most overwhelming, incessant places, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. This is what Paul says about it. This is Romans 8, 37 through 39. And his exclamation of gratitude and victory. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no need to fear. There's no need to go anywhere else in times of hardship. The stronger man has prevailed, and the stronger man has given you the kingdom. Amen.